Good morning. Today we begin a series of meditations drawn from John's Gospel. This morning we'll be looking at the topic, the glory of man and the glory of God. In John chapter 7, we see Jesus clashing head-on with the Jewish religious leaders of the day, led by the Pharisees. These men were obsessed with their own status. They craved the applause of the crowd, thriving on human praise, basking in what we might call their ratings. They lived for the glory of man. But Jesus in verse 18 draws a sharp line between two kinds of glory, the glory of self and the glory of God. These two can't coexist in a person's heart. It's one or the other. Today we'll unpack this verse in two parts. First, we'll explore the characteristics of self-glory, what it looks like to chase your own praise. Secondly, we'll see the beauty of pursuing God's glory, living for the one who sent us. Let's dive in and let the word of God challenge us. Characteristics of self-glory. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. Notice that phrase, from himself. It's a warning light flashing. Too often we make man the starting point for life, our feelings, our comfort, our ideas. But the Bible says God must be our starting point. Let's recall the first words in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. Those four words set the tone for everything. If we don't begin with God, we are chasing something else, our own glory. When we start with man, we're not measuring life by God's standard, but ours. Instead of what does God say, we often ask, what feels good to me? What can I handle? That's self-glory. It's man-centered living, and it's a slippery slope. Without God as the foundation, anything goes. Right becomes wrong. Wrong becomes right. Some people have been known to say, I couldn't love a God who lets suffering happen. Or, I can't believe in a God who doesn't fit my mold. That's idolatry, people. Crafting a God in our image instead of bowing to the God who made us, that is idolatry. Who are we to put God on trial? Romans 9 verse 20 asks, who are you, O man, to reply against God? Yet, when we speak from ourselves, that's what we do. We seek our own glory, our thoughts, our comfort over God's truth. Look at Cain in Genesis 4. He brought an offering from his own hands, his farming skills, his pride. Abel brought a lamb, pointing to grace outside of himself. God accepted Abel's, but not Cain's. Why? Cain spoke from himself, seeking his own glory. That's one of the reasons why he killed Abel. You see, self-glory breeds envy and destruction. Think about the Paris Olympics opening ceremony last year. It mocked Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper painting. But not just the painting. By extension, it mocked Jesus and Christianity itself. Why didn't they mock something sacred to another faith? As we say in Jamaica, Duppy know who for frighten. They target what's safe to attack. That ceremony was man-centered, vile, and blasphemous. A parade of human depravity dressed up as art. It's a perfect picture of speaking from himself. The organizers likely saw nothing wrong. In fact, they celebrated it. That's what happens when we trust in man's standards. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary on John's Gospel, had this to say, quote, man's doctrine rates man by man's standards, and by man's standards, he's not too bad. At any rate, most people are not too bad, and almost everyone can take comfort from the fact that he's better than someone else in something. If we were to express morality in inches, we would all acknowledge that there are 7 feet tall people like basketballer Will Chamberlain, as well as midgets, and take courage from the fact that we are, at least in our own opinion, somewhat above the average. Close quote. Boyce's argument is that we think I'm not as bad as that guy, or we are above average. But God's standard isn't a sliding scale. Romans 3 verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And Paul adds in Romans 7 verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. No flesh can please God. Self-glory shows up in the Christian life as well. Christian, have you ever caught yourself serving to get a pat on the back? Christian, have you ever said to yourself or to people, look at me, I'm doing more than the other Christians in the church? That's what the Pharisees did. They chased the applause that came from men rather than seeking to please God. So when Jesus came on the scene and gained a significant following, their ratings dropped and their bad mind turned up. Hence, they plotted to kill Jesus because their glory was threatened. Speaking from ourselves is a characteristic of self-glory. Speaking from ourselves is dangerous. It's fleshly, carnal, and empty. We have just looked at the characteristics of self-glory, what it looks like to chase our own praise. Now let's look at the beauty of pursuing God's glory. Here are some characteristics of seeking God's glory. The second part of John 7 verse 18 says, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now look at Jesus. Throughout John's gospel, he's crystal clear. His agenda is God's agenda. In John 4 verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In that statement, there's an absence of personal ambition. He's simply about his Father's glory. That should be our model. Our plans shouldn't outshine God's purpose. Jesus sought only to glorify the Father, and the result? He was true, authentic, real, having no unrighteousness in him. Only Jesus perfectly lived this. He's the only one who could. But we're called to follow him. By God's grace, we can pursue his glory too. We are not perfect. Our righteousness isn't ours. It's from Christ. Yet, as we seek God's glory, we reflect truthfulness and integrity. Imagine Pilate examining us and saying, I find no fault here. Not because we are sinless, but because God's grace shines through us. Contrast that with the Pharisees, whom Jesus called whitewashed tombs in Matthew 23, 27 to 28. He meant that they were pretty on the outside, but rotten on the inside. That word sent in verse 18 is key. Jesus was sent by the Father to redeem us. His face was set like flint to go and die on the cross. But note this, we are sent too. John 20 verse 21 records Jesus saying, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus commands us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We are not sent for our glory, but for God's glory. My Christian friend, please remember that nothing glorifies God more than when a sinner gets saved. Paul said so in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Every moment, planting trees, working, chatting, can glorify God. How much of last week did we spend exalting Christ in our words, deeds, and thoughts? To my non-Christian friend, today is a good day to repent. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let him forgive you of your sins. If you do that, you will indeed bring great glory to God. Until we meet again next week, may Christ bless you greatly.